Dear Pastor Tim, what is your view on Christians exercising? I find this difficult because I think 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, anybody know those texts right off, what they deal with? They're the ones that have to do with our body being a temple for the Lord, our temple of the Holy Spirit. It's dealing with sexual immorality, but it specifically it has to do with our bodies being a temple for the Holy Spirit. He says, or she, Jamie, not sure. I find this difficult because I think 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 gets pulled out of context a lot. Also, 1 Timothy 4:8 says different things in different translations. That's the one that speaks about bodily exercise as being a little profitable, or of profits a little, or it's of some value. But godliness is valuable. Godliness is good. Godliness is profitable in all things. By the time I drive to a gym, workout, shower, change clothes, drive back, etc., it's almost a two-hour ordeal. I don't want to spend that much time each day in something unless God affirms it as good, not just neutral. Is there anything that can give me clarity? And I thought that's a good one because we have a young church, and young people especially, not just young people, I mean, brother, if you can believe it, I heard rumor that Brother Andy was bench pressing 400 pounds even after he was 60 years old. There is a group of the Reformed Baptist pastors, including Al Martin, who really took staying physically fit serious. But there are obviously a lot of pastors who don't take it serious, as their shape would testify to. Even some that we highly esteem were rather stout men. So, you know, some men stay fit, some men not so much. But what does Scripture have to say? Different men take different positions on these things. What does Scripture have to say? I mean, if we want a good balance, we don't want to be, on the one hand, we want to promote holiness, we want to promote redeeming the time, we want to promote godliness, we want to promote a good expenditure of our time, our effort, our hours. You don't get them back. We recognize the outer man is wasting away. You can't stop that. No matter how much you go to the gym, you cannot stop what you're going to look like 200 years from now. You can't stop that. So, you know, 200 years from now, whether you went to the gym every day or whether you didn't, the worms are coming for you. So, what do we want to think about when we think about before the Lord, how exercise or even proper eating, how that fits in? I mean, one thing that comes to my mind, Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards would not eat certain food because it gave him a headache. I'm not the first guy that gets headaches. Jonathan Edwards would get headaches. And he knew there were certain things that he could eat and he'd get headaches. So he stayed away from it. I also have read about him that he specifically would go out and chop wood. Now, he had servants. In fact, he may have even had slaves. That's another topic for another time. He didn't have to chop the wood, in other words. But he would purposely go out and chop the wood. For one, chopping the wood was great exercise. That was the primary reason that he did it. Two, it wasn't just pumping iron. Do you know that work is actually a force that moves across a distance? That's work. From an engineering standpoint, I know we define it differently when we're just talking about going to work, but I'm talking about work. You got force. I can exert a force on here, on this table, and it not move at all. Force and work are different. Work is when you apply a force and it actually goes somewhere. You know, you could go outside and you could press against this house and put all your weight into it, put your shoulder into it, and do that for 24 hours and come in here exhausted. Oh, I was working. Well, no, actually you didn't do any work. You applied a force, but you really didn't do any work. And see, that's kind of like lifting weights. You're not really doing any work. You say, yeah, but there's motion. Yeah, but in the end, the weight ends up right where it was. The thing is, he actually exercised in a way that he was producing some real work, where the wood was split, and that was necessary in those days. I mean, that's how they heated their home, and he was up in the Northeast, and that was necessary. So he was doing a necessary labor. It's just interesting. I'm just bringing up the fact that he did that, and he sought to eat in a way to keep his head clear, and he sought to exercise in a way that was actually productive. That's it. I'm throwing it out for thought. I mean, ultimately, what we want to do is we want to look at Scripture, and so what. One of the texts that I threw out that I think we need to deal with is redeem the time. So let me ask you this. If a guy were to spend 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, or 6 days a week in the gym, is he redeeming the time? Because here's the thing you want to think about. He's pumping weights that don't go anywhere. He's doing it with a body that 100 years from now is going to be worm-eaten. He can't. Pumping weights is not a fountain of youth. So, I mean, is that redeeming the time? Did I hear, mm-mm?
Just for himself.
I mean, if, say, like, you know, Evan's situation, if I'm a firefighter on duty and I'm sitting around the fireplace and I have nothing to do, or the firehouse, but I'm able to go and work out and get paid for it, to me that's a different factor there based on the fact I don't really have anything else to do at the firehouse. I'm a fireman, we're waiting for a call. We can go work out at a gym and wait to get a call, and then we'll leave from there.
Well, and if you have a job where remaining healthy like that is pretty essential to your effectiveness in the job, Chip Hewitt, military, you know, those guys have to take, what is it, PT exam every so often, and so they have to maintain a certain level of physical fitness, or else. And why? Well, because when you're a firefighter or when you're in the military, there's an expectation of maintaining a certain level of health. Like, you see some of these police officers, it's like they've been spending way too much time at Dunkin' Donuts. And you just wonder, If they had to chase a criminal, would they even come close to catching them? I mean, there are some, like, did you see that big guy that was in the wedding? Evan's friend? I mean, that guy was a firefighter. I'm thinking, if my house is on fire, I'd love to see about 12 of those guys show up. Why? I mean, they can move walls. They can make things happen. But
he was big for people that weren't there. It wasn't big like fat, but big as in strong as tall.
Yeah, just a monster of a man. So what we're basically establishing here is there's not one specific rule, but think about this. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient or helpful. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. See, I guess the thing is, we have to look at life like that. Well, okay, these are things that fall into the gray areas, and all things are lawful that are not unlawful. All things are lawful, but that's not the... See, what Paul's doing there is he's apparently taking a colloquial expression, some kind of cliche saying that's getting thrown around by the Corinthians. All things are lawful. So you know that comes up in 1 Corinthians 6 and again in 1 Corinthians 10. It's like it was something that they would say to justify what they did with their lives. And he came along and said this. All things are lawful. Okay, but there's more to put into the equation than just that. Boy, this is what we've been talking about oftentimes in living the Christian life over these last several months in this Bible study. It's not just a matter of, show me in the Bible where I can't do that. See, you're way too shallow if that's how you're living your life. It's got to do with, does it edify? Does it build up? Is it helpful? Does it bring me under its power? Like, some of you know the story of Martin Lloyd-Jones and what transpired in his life. You know, he's a pastor and he smoked. My understanding was he smoked a pack a day. And what happened? He got to the point where he recognized he was under the power of this. And I'll tell you what, weightlifting is the kind of thing that can pull you under its power. It's the kind of thing almost like a drug. You need to have it. There's an adrenaline rush. You know, you take your protein powder or your creatine or whatever, and you just... There's a high connected with that, and guys thrive on that. But what we have to ask ourselves is, there's a little profit in it, but there's primarily profit in godliness. So you want to ask questions like, well, rather than spending 2 hours going to the gym, what if you bought some dumbbells and you worked out for 15 minutes here and there during the day when you had a little bit of free time, and you gave all the rest of that 2 hours a day to memorizing Scripture? I mean, think about it. When you're 50 years old, if you memorize... Brethren, let me just tell you this, because some of you are young, and you don't recognize what happens when you go from 20s to 30s, 30s to 40s, 40s to 50s. I haven't got the 60s or 70s yet, but I'm telling you, what is happening in my mind is all the Scripture I memorized when I was 25, 26, 27 years old, that is what I can recall. The stuff I've tried to remember in the last few years, very difficult. You want to think. All if you're spending hours and hours and hours of your life in the gym, what would happen if you spent all those hours memorizing Scripture? Or learning to play the guitar, or you could minister to God's people through by way of song. I mean, we just want to look at the value. There's something to be said for exercising so that you're not tired in the middle of the afternoon. There's something to be said about exercising so that you maintain a certain level of fitness. We should take care of our bodies. And look, when you get fat and you eat terrible and you don't feel good, it's bad on your health, you probably shorten your life. But you don't want to make weightlifting into a god. And I would say this, we need to ask ourselves motive. Isn't that the issue? What's the motive? What makes us tick? Why do we do what we do? Because God looks at the motive. To the Lord, that's the most important thing. If a guy says, you know what, when I work out, I don't fall asleep at church. That's good. If Jonathan Edwards says, you know what, when I go out and chop wood for 40 minutes a day or for 20 minutes a day, I feel a whole lot better when I sit down at my desk. I don't feel like I'm going to fall asleep at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Great. Just like eating. He determined, if I eat that, I get a headache. I'm not going to eat that. I mean, we have to look at why we do what we do. If a guy's going to the gym primarily because he wants to appeal to somebody of the opposite sex, that's probably not a good motive. Because, I mean, what's that saying? He's putting all this effort into looking good, looking attractive, and he wants to attract a wife or a girlfriend based on that.
Beauty is vain.
Yeah, that's just not a good motive. Because if a girl is primarily attracted to you for that reason, then you're going to end up with a pretty shallow girl. In other words, you're not focusing primarily on the thing that is calculated to attract the best of wives, an excellent wife, because that certainly isn't going to be the primary thing that she's going to be looking for in a guy. So I don't think there's any general, there's not any specific rule here. Like, you know, I heard Craig mention going to the gym on Sunday. That I get into seasons where I go to the gym. It's seasons. And sometimes it's just simply because I feel like I'm getting out of shape. And I need to, and then I've had other seasons where it's like, okay, I think I'm getting into that too much. I need to not do that anymore. But there's sometimes when I feel like I should do that because I don't feel, you know what? If you work out and your mind is sharper, that's good. If you work out and you feel better, that's good. How we feel is connected tightly to our spirituality. If we feel good, if we feel healthy, obviously being strong and being able to do things, you know, if you let yourself entirely go and then you have to exert yourself or do something, you know, you pull a muscle, you're just a mess. I mean, trying to keep some degree of physical fitness so that you can operate well as you try to run this race before the Lord, that certainly would be desirable. But it all comes back to motive. What is it that we're really after? And you certainly don't want to be brought under the power of anything. You don't want it to control you. Any other thoughts?
I'm just thinking like how, because I remember how you said that there is a lot of people out there that say, well, show me in the Bible where it says that. And I've, you know, ran across a lot of Christians that, and it's from a broad range, outside of working out, you know, et cetera. And they would say, well, show me in the Bible where it says not to do that. And recently I came across a brother that is like that. He's real into working out. And, you know, I told him, I said, man, it looks like this is becoming a priority. And this is not your priority anymore. Seeking the Lord is not. And he says, well, Jared, tell me in the Bible where it says I can't work out. You know?
Well, you can say, Paul said that he wouldn't be brought under the power of anything. And it's got to do with, is this helpful? And 1 Timothy 4:8 is a text that I recognize what's being said here is that there's different translations, but I'll tell you, no matter what translation you have, the truth that comes across is this: godliness way, way, way outweighs the benefits of godliness. They benefit in everything. Do you recognize that? I mean, do you all recognize this? If you can even quantify it, 10% more godly than you are now, it benefits you in everything. If you become 10% stronger, it's got a little value. And that's the truth. That's what Paul's saying to Timothy. Timothy's a young man. Why do you think he talked to him about physical exercise? This isn't new today. There were sports back then. Young people were young people back then. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. Don't think, oh, well, you know, we got gyms today. Well, they had what they had back then. They had Olympics back then. They had sports back then. Paul talks about wrestling. He talks about boxing. He talks about running. There clearly were sports back then. You'd hate to look back on your life and have spent literally, when you add up all the time that you were in the gym, it amounts to days and weeks and months of your life. And now you're old and decrepit and you really have nothing to show for all that. Seems like what we want to do is we want to maintain a level of physical exercise that's going to help us run spiritually as fast as we can. And if it's more than that, it's probably excess. Unless, of course, you do have a place in life or some kind of position in life, some kind of employment in life where, you know, if your employer expects, like Zach's does, you know, Zach's employer expects him to be able to take a half or a third of a grand piano and lift the thing. You know, you don't want to come in. If Evan is working for the fire department, they don't expect him to, you know, be gorging himself on Big Macs all the time and not working out. The same thing for Chip in the military. I mean, they expect something. And so where you've got that kind of commitment, obviously you need to be faithful to the employer.